Amen. Well, we have been going through our Advent series called The Gift. And basically, we've been talking about money, finances. And this is a topic that not a lot of churches talk about because it can be very sensitive. And people don't like to talk about money. On the first Sunday of this Advent series, I showed a little video, and the pastor in there talked about how a lot of people don't want to talk about money, and it's probably one of the most sensitive issues to talk about. He mentioned how people in his church would come up to him and share about their struggles with sexual sin, but at the same time, he still didn't know much about how they spent their money. And so the idea of talking about money in church has become a really sensitive topic, but during this Advent season, we want to talk about money because money is one of those things that really, really has a strong grip on many people's lives. And during this Advent season, we're supposed to be looking forward. We're supposed to be waiting for Christ as we remember Christmas and how Jesus Christ came to the earth many, many years ago. But also, the word Advent is talking about how we're waiting and expecting not only Jesus Christ in his first coming, as we want to celebrate Christmas, but we also look forward to Jesus Christ's second coming. At the same time, though, money is such an important topic in our lives that rather than thinking about Jesus Christ and how important he is and how wonderful he is and how he brings us hope and peace, instead of thinking about Jesus in this way, our minds, a lot of times, are stuck in the present time now, and a lot of times we're worried about our finances. Today, you might not necessarily be in that place, but perhaps we can look back on times in our lives where we did worry about our finances. And so the big question as we go through this sermon series is, are you looking forward to Christ? As we look forward to celebrating Christmas, and as we look forward to his second coming, or are you looking for some type of financial blessing in your life? Some way that you could get out of your current situation, maybe a better job, maybe a promotion, maybe working hard at your schoolwork so that you can look forward to a good job in the future. What is it that you're waiting for and expecting during this season? Well, with Advent, we have different topics that we go through. We talked about hope the first week, and we talked about peace last week. Today, we're going to be talking about love. And so the sermon title for today is this, Love, the Gift of Giving. We're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 31 to 34. So if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verses 31 to 34. If you have your Bible, or if you have one of these blue Bibles from outside, we're looking at page 871. And I want to once again encourage you to open up your own Bibles because I may not always have verses on the screen. And it's really good to have a Bible open in front of you so that when I mention other verses, previous or afterwards, you can look at the Bible and actually glance at what comes before, what comes after, and just see the whole context of the passage. So once again, we're looking at Luke chapter 12, verses 31 to 34. Since it is a shorter passage today, I want to ask us to stand together as a way of showing respect to God's word. And we don't do this every week, but once in a while, doing this is a good thing just to remember that we want to respect God's word, that it is actually God's word. And as we stand, let's read together God's word, and I'll read the first passage, you read the second passage, the second verse, and then we'll keep switching off like this, all right? So here we go. This is the reading of God's word. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Amen. You may have your seats. The last passage that we just read said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There will your heart be also. So what is it that you really treasure in life? What is it that you think is really important, that really guides how you make decisions? Think about some decisions that you've made recently. What did you base your decision on? Was it based on what God's word says? Was it based on the things that you were taught according to God's word? Or were you considering other factors? What other people thought? What decisions you needed to make based on finances? How did you make your decision? What was the main factor when you made that decision? Well, one of the decisions that I need to make every once in a while is that when I'm walking along the streets, I may have somebody that comes up to me and asks me for some money. Now, I don't know how you may usually deal with some of the people that come and ask for money, but I have to make a decision, and you have to make a decision about whether to give money or not. You know, I remember there was one lady that was on the street, and she would always be there. She used to be there by the McDonald's that's just around the corner here. And she would always ask for money. And sometimes I would not have enough. Sometimes I would only have some coins. And sometimes I would only have a 500 bill. And so what do I do? Do I give it or not? By the way, the people that are on the streets, they have their own stories. They go through difficult times. They face difficult things even as they're on the street. And so I hope that we would continue to grow a heart of compassion for these people, because we don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know what they've faced in the past. And perhaps, yeah, they might use the money with different purposes in mind. That may be true. But at the same time, we just don't know. And so I hope that as we see the people on the streets, I hope that our hearts continue to grow with compassion for these people. One of the things that I experienced that was really amazing was that whenever I would see this lady, I would give her money, and I would ask her, "So how are you doing lately?" And she would answer, and she would say all these things about her life. And sometimes I would hear the same story over and over and over again. But one time I met with this lady and I said, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And amazingly, she actually responded by saying, I'm doing all right. How are you doing today?" And that was the first time with this particular lady that I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. This person didn't even ask for money yet, and this person is wondering how I'm doing. That's amazing. How does a person get to a place where even though they're in need, that they begin to think not about what their own needs are anymore, but they begin to think about the other person and actually ask, "How are you doing?" The main idea is this. When you think about what you treasure, what you treasure may actually give you the freedom to be able to give, or it may bring you to bondage where you're not able to give at all. Our main idea is this: treasure the Lord and give freely. Treasure the Lord and give freely. The three points that we'll be going through today are: number one, give freely; number two, treasure; and number three, frugality. And those of you that have been a part of our services for the past few weeks, you know that last one has to do with the word gift. and the practical ideas of how to implement what we're talking about lately. All right? So, again, the main idea for today is treasure the Lord and give freely. All right? So let's talk about that. The first point is give freely. In our passage today in verse 31, it says, instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Now, last week, we were looking at the passage previous to this passage. And so if you have your Bibles open, I'm not going to be able to show it on the screen here, but if you have your Bibles open, you could see the passage that we looked at last week. And what Jesus was saying was, don't worry about your lives. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Because these are all things that other people worry about. People that don't believe in the Lord. But you don't have to worry about these things because you have a Father in heaven that cares about you and knows exactly what you need. And goes on to say this. Jesus says, so instead of seeking after what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and worrying about your life, instead, seek his kingdom and all these things that you're worrying about will be given to you. The Lord knows what you need, so you don't need to worry about it yourself. Rather, seek his kingdom. So what does it mean to seek his kingdom then? What does that actually look like? Well, in this passage, Jesus gives an example to make it a little bit more clear of what seeking his kingdom looks like. Well, basically what it is this. In the very next passage, it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think about this. He says, seek the kingdom. And the Father, it's his good pleasure. He's happy to give you his kingdom. So it's not like we're seeking his kingdom and we're like, oh, I need to really find it. Oh, I'm going to have such a hard time finding it. Oh, I need to just do my best to seek his kingdom. Otherwise, I'm going to fail at finding his kingdom. It's not that at all. What Jesus is saying is adjust what you're seeking for. Adjust what you're thinking is your treasure. And as you do, Jesus is saying, know that the Father wants to give you his kingdom. It's not something that you need to work for. It's something that's going to be given to you as a gift. But adjust what you think is your treasure. And then he goes on, Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. What is Jesus saying in this particular passage about seeking the kingdom? What he's saying is this. Don't treasure the things that are here on earth, because everything that is on this earth is going to pass away. Everything is going to be just temporary. But there is something that will last. And what is that thing? That thing is when you begin to invest in things that go beyond this life. When you begin to give to the poor and to the needy so that they begin to understand that there is a kingdom of God that is beyond this world. So that they begin to understand that actually Jesus Christ has come to save them as well. Not just you, but Jesus Christ has come to save them. Seeking the kingdom, it's about realizing that there is a life beyond this current life and that there is a life that's much, much better than this current life. This life beyond this life, the life beyond this life, is a life with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a life where things are eternal and not temporary. And so when we think about this Advent season, what is it that you're looking forward to? What is it that you're expecting? Is it where you're focused on these things that are temporary, that are going to all pass away? Or are you looking forward to the kingdom that will never pass away? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and how he will bring a kingdom that's so much better than what we experience today? Well, one specific step And moving in this direction, where we look forward to the kingdom of God, one specific step is to sell your possessions and give to the needy. Seeking God's kingdom is not just this abstract idea that I just do with my mind. A very practical step is to actually give. Give to the needy, give to the poor, give to God's kingdom work. Now, this idea of giving is not just found here, but actually, God desires us to be really focused on how we use our finances, to really understand that how we use our finances really reflects what we think about God and His kingdom. And so we see this idea of giving coming up over and over again. So in Acts chapter 20, we went through this passage a number of weeks ago as we were finishing up our sermon series in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is going from place to place and he's heading back to Jerusalem. And he doesn't know if he's going to die or not in Jerusalem. And so he says his final goodbyes to the Ephesian elders. And as a part of that, he says this. He says, "In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You see, this is not only something that Jesus talks about, but because Jesus taught it, even his disciples, even Paul, he wants to pass on this idea to the elders and to continue to spread this idea that we Christians, we need to be looking out for others. We need to be looking out for the poor. We need to be looking out for the people that are around us that are in need. We need to be helping each other. And to remember what Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In Luke chapter 6, earlier in the book of Luke than the passage that we're looking at today, Jesus says this: "Give, and it will come back to you. It will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap." What is all this talking about? You know how a long time ago, and maybe still some parts of the world, they sell grain. And they sell it by having a measuring cup. And they might have a scale and things like that. But in old times, and again, in other parts of the world today, they might have a measure and they take a cup of the grain. And then they might have some tricks. Like sometimes they might have like a container that's not see-through, and they might put a little rock inside so that it takes up some space. And they say, "Look, it's the same measuring size as other vendors out there." And they fill up the cup, but they're actually not giving as much as they should be getting, right? And so they cheat people. But what this is saying, Jesus is saying, look, a good measure. You get a good measure. You don't have any other rocks or anything in there. You get a good measure. You press it down and you add more so that it fills up even more. You shake it there so that all the grains fall into the little slots and you have even more and you fill up more. So you're giving a lot to the customer. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and even running over. You add more so that it's overflowing. That's what you give, and it will be given to you. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So this idea of giving is such an important idea that's talked about over and over again. And how can we have this idea of wanting to give more? Again, I want to be clear. I talked about this in the past 2 weeks as well. I'm not saying go and sell everything that you have so that I could buy my jet, my private jet. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that as you think about your own finances, do you have the mindset of being generous and giving to other people or not? And some of us, we struggle with our finances. How do we get to a point where we can really be giving freely? As we treasure Jesus, we want to give freely. How do we get to that point? Well, let me bring us to back to like what we've been talking about the past couple weeks. The first Sunday, we talked about this idea of hope because we have a God of abundance. The gift of abundance is that we have God who has an abundance of everything because he's the creator God and he's able to provide everything. Now imagine like the heavens and there's an abundance of water. The whole heavens are filled with water. This is who our God is. If he wanted to, he could just pour out everything. But if he poured out everything, we'd have a flood in this world again, right? But that's the kind of God that we have. Now, we are like this cup. We are limited. And so we don't necessarily need just this constant pouring of water upon us. We just need what's enough for us. And God does pour out his love, his grace, his blessings, even financially at times, even gives us friendships, even gives us our jobs at times. He continues to pour out different kinds of blessings. Even the hard times in our lives are disguised blessings. You know, it's not just that when you get a job that God is giving his blessings, but even when you lose a job, God is giving his blessings. And so God gives his blessings, and what ends up happening is that he fills us up. And last week we talked about how we have peace in our hearts because there is this gift of giving us enough. God gives us according to what our cup sizes are, and he gives us enough. We don't want any more than that. Of course, we don't want less than that, but God gives us what we need. Now, today we talked about how there's love, and we have the gift of giving. And I say that it's a gift because it's not just something that you say, okay, I have my finances, and I'm going to be giving of my property or my finances to other people. It's not that. The ability to be able to give to other people is actually a gift from God as well. How does that work? Well, if there are other people that are around us, there are also empty cups that are around us. And some of these people, they don't have this direct relationship with God. And so they constantly feel this emptiness in their hearts. Now, God does not only just give us enough, but God gives us more. Just like the passage that we looked at. Give and it'll be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and even running over. God gives us even more than we need, so that it begins to run over into other people, and so that when we receive God's love, we're able to love other people. We might not be able to fill them up all the way. That can only happen when they have a relationship with God. But we're able to give them an experience of God's love, maybe just glimpses here and there of God's love. And as they experience God's love, we want to point them toward Jesus Christ and say, look, there is a kingdom that's so much better than what we experience here on this earth. God is really bringing us into a world where there will be peace, where there will be love. And we share with them, Jesus Christ is the only way to be able to have this life where you really feel filled, fulfilled, where you feel like you're actually experiencing life for what life was meant to be. What happens if we're not experiencing this? What if we don't believe in the truth that God is a God of abundance? What if we don't believe in the idea that God gives us enough for what we need today? What happens if we don't continue to love other people with how the Lord blesses us and we bless other people? What if we don't believe in these things? Well, let's take them out one at a time and see what happens. What if we don't give? You know, we're receiving all these blessings from the Lord and we decide not to be generous. We decide not to give to other people. Then what ends up happening is that other people who don't have that filling from the Lord, they won't ever experience God's love. They won't see that God is a God of love. We're supposed to be witnesses in this world that God is a God of love. But no one will see it if we're not giving. Not only that, God is pouring out his blessings upon us, and we're saying, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it. And what happens if your cup is just this plastic cup that's holding that water, and you start putting a lot of pressure, trying to put more water into that thing, and this cup is not going to expand? What happens when you keep pushing more water into that thing? It's going to crack at some point. You're going to feel too full. Like last week, we talked about a buffet and how you keep feeding yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, this is painful. That's what's going to happen. What if not only you're not giving, but you don't believe that God is giving you enough? Remember, we talked about how you don't feel that it's enough, not because God's not giving enough, but you feel that you're not getting enough because you're taking your cup around and you're looking to other things in this world and you're saying, fill me up, fill me up. You think that your job is going to fill you up. You think your friends are going to fill you up. You think your family's going to fill you up. But you're going around, running around, trying to tell other people to fill you up, and you feel like God is not filling you up, whereas God is saying, look, I'm still here. I have an abundance that I could fill you up with. So what ends up happening is that you say, the Bible tells me I'm supposed to give. Jesus tells me I'm supposed to give. But I feel like I'm not getting filled up. And it's just too hard to give to other people. And pastor, you shouldn't be talking about giving because I just don't have enough to give. And you don't know the troubles that I'm going through. You don't know how hard my life is. And you don't know how I've been struggling financially. So, pastor, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I can't do it right now. So please don't talk about it. It's a sensitive topic. I don't want to talk about finances. If you're in that place, this is probably what's happening to you. You're not trusting in some part of God's truth. And some people, they get to the point where they say, God, you're not filling me up. All the while, they're just running around chasing after other things. And they say, God, you know what? I'm not going to believe that you're the God of abundance anymore. I'm not going to believe that you even exist. Then what happens is, this is what your world looks like. You never have enough. You always feel like you hear these commands that you're supposed to give, but there's no desire to give. Because you got to look out for yourself. You don't have enough yourself. And even if you do give, some people, they give, but it's not for the other people. It's actually for yourself, trying to fill yourself up once again. And you have nothing in this world to ever help you ever feel satisfied. See, this has nothing to do with what the truth is. This has everything to do with what you believe in. What you believe in about this world and what you believe in about God. Because if you just believed what God says, this is the picture you'll have. But the reason why we find ourselves not freely giving is because sometimes this is what we're experiencing. In Luke 19, verse 26, this was from my devotion this past week. Jesus tells a parable and he says, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And the idea is like, are you being a good steward of the finances that God has given to you? It's not just about finances, it's about everything in your life. Are you being a good steward of what God has provided for you? And if you are, God will provide all the more. More will be given. But if you're not, even what you have will be taken away, and what you'll be experiencing is something like this. Again, the point is, we want to freely give. But being able to freely give doesn't just happen just by obeying a command. It happens by believing in what we've been talking about the past couple weeks. Looking to the God of heaven, who is the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God that knows exactly what you're going through, knows exactly what you need, and He's providing for you everything that you need, and He's filling you up with His truth and with His love. And not only that, He's giving you more so that it's overflowing to people around you, and you're able to be a blessing to other people. Now, some of us, as we hear this, you say, well, that's true, Pastor, and I do want to believe this, but I'm not rich. I don't have a lot to give. And so, what can I do? Well, perhaps when you have this type of mindset that you don't have anything to give because you're not rich, or even if you say, I'm just going through a lot of financial struggles, and so I just don't have money to give right now. If this is your mindset, perhaps, there's something going on in your heart where we need to discuss, where is your treasure really? Again, the main idea for today is treasure the Lord and give freely. But where is your treasure? What are you treasuring? So let's talk about that a bit. Again, in our passage today, it says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is it that you see as valuable in your life? Where are you investing your finances? Where are you investing your time? Where are you investing your energy, your physical energy? What is it that's important for you? It's something that we need to keep asking ourselves. Because whatever you treasure, that's how you will make your decisions. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says this. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Of all the things to choose about what these two masters are, Jesus specifically in this passage says, you cannot serve God and the other God, lowercase g, the other God being money. You see, here's the thing. If your treasure is with the Lord, if you say, my God is what's the most important thing to me, my Lord Jesus Christ is what's the most important thing to me, then what you'll begin to experience is a life of freedom. You'll feel more and more free. But if your master is money, what you'll find is that you'll find more and more enslavement. You'll find yourself being more and more stressed. You'll find yourself being more and more frustrated. Maybe having more arguments with your spouse. Maybe having more arguments with your coworkers. Having complaints about your bosses and your companies. And you'll find yourself unsatisfied and not content continually. Because these are the two masters that you have to choose from, and money is a really, really powerful master. But let's remember for a moment what Jesus says. Jesus says, seek first his kingdom. And fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to share with you. God wants to pour out his blessings upon you. It may not mean that you're going to be rich. It may not mean that. But God's going to give you enough, and then he's going to give you even more on top of that, so that you're able to freely give to other people. You see, the main motivation of how we're able to give comes from what God had demonstrated himself already. We're talking about treasure, right? What is it that we treasure? Well, let's ask this question. What is it that God treasures? And what did he do when he treasured what he treasured? In Matthew chapter 17, we see a passage where God makes clear what it is that he treasures. This is talking about Jesus when they were on a mountain. Jesus was with a couple disciples, not all his disciples, but he was with a couple disciples and they went up a mountain. And then Jesus, all of a sudden, he transformed into his heavenly figure, his heavenly form. He was bright. And it was an amazing picture to see. The disciples, they saw it actually, and it was just a crazy experience for them. We call it the transfiguration. Jesus turned into his heavenly body, and we see other people there with him. And then the disciples, they also hear this voice. It says, he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, and this is what the Father says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You see, here what we find is that the Father's greatest treasure that he makes known to the people is Jesus Christ himself. It's his Son. Now, let's pause for a moment here and think about how there may be times that we don't look to the Father. We don't look to our God. We feel the emptiness in our hearts. We deny that God is either existing. We deny that either God is able to provide for us what's enough, or we deny the command that tells us to give as an overflow of the love that God has given to us. You see, it's not just what we experience, that picture where it says nothing. It's not just something that we experience. We're not just experiencing this emptiness, but actually we're actively going against our God. We're actively denying his truth. When we say that we're not able to give, perhaps what it's showing is that we're denying God to be our treasure, and we're looking to something else to be our treasure. But even with that in mind, God the Father, who treasured his Son, who he said it was Jesus was his beloved, God the Father was still willing to send his Son to this earth, to be born as a child, to grow up in this world that's very different from being with the Father in heaven. Experiencing pain and suffering, experiencing the process of growing up and having to learn, and not only that, going to the cross for our sins, for the way that we deny the truths that God has given to us. Jesus Christ died for us, and the Father was willing to give up his treasure. His greatest treasure, the Father was willing to give up Jesus Christ so that we can become his treasure. You see, we hear about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, the Father did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, with him, graciously give us all things? You see what it's saying there? It's saying that the Father did not spare his greatest treasure. But he gave up Jesus Christ for us. And if that's what God did for us, how will he not also give us all that we need? How will he not also give us all things? You see, what Jesus Christ did is a wonderful and amazing thing. And Jesus Christ continues to pour out his love upon us. For those of us that call us Christians, this is the promise that we have, that God is providing enough for us and even overflowing so that we're able to give freely to other people so that other people will also experience God's love and his goodness, and perhaps they themselves would also come to know our God of abundance. God has given graciously. God had his treasure, but he was willing to give it away so that you can become his treasure. And so when we treasure the Lord, we begin to see that everything else in this world, it's not that important anymore. And we're able to give it away freely. Perhaps there are these things that we've treasured in the past in our own lives. But as we follow the example of what God has done for us, and even Jesus Christ himself, he gave up his own life for us. We begin to see that we're also able to give freely those things that belong to us. So how do we do that? How do we begin to do this in a very practical way? Well, as we've been talking about, this word gift. The first week we talked about how we need to be generous. Second week we talked about integrity. Today we're going to focus on this word frugality. Frugality is about being careful with your finances. It's about having an understanding where your money is going. It's about being smart with your money. And let's think about what it says down below. It says, if you have not managed your finances well, you will not have anything to give. You see, the thing is that you might say, I just don't feel like I have enough to give. You know, I don't even get paid that much, and I don't even... You have all these reasons why you say you don't have enough to give. But perhaps if you looked at your finances closely, perhaps if you looked at where your money was spent, perhaps if you're looking a little bit more carefully about how you use your money, perhaps you'll find that actually you do have enough and that there are sacrifices perhaps you can make, or you actually have even more than you thought you had and you're actually able to give. If you have not managed your finances well, you will not have anything to give. So what does it look like to manage your finances well? This will sound like a financial responsibility seminar, but let me just say it real quick. Number one, keep track of where you use your money. Do it for 1 month. Record all your expenses. Record it all down. If you haven't done this, learn to do this. It's very helpful. I've been doing this method ever since I got out of college. And it's worked well for me. Second, ask how you want to use your money. And then break it down. You have necessary expenses, you have desired expenses, and then you have your unnecessary expenses. Right? So break it down. What are your necessary expenses? You have your bills, you have food that you need to eat, you have your rent, maybe you want to put some away into your savings, and you want to give to church. What are your desired expenses? Well, it might be those same things. Like, do I really want to have 30 gigs of data per month? Or can I really survive with 12 gigs of data per month? Right? What is it that you desire, but maybe it's not necessarily necessary? You could say the same thing about food. Do I really need that Starbucks coffee every day? Or do I really need to live in this very expensive complex whereas I could potentially just live in this less expensive complex. Right? What are your desired expenses? And then there are these unnecessary expenses. Now, every person will have a different answer for each of these categories, so go back and do your own thinking through these topics. But what are the unnecessary expenses that you've just been paying for? Like for me, every single month I look back at my finances and I say, do we really need Amazon Prime? Do we really need this? And I keep asking this question, and I talk with Polly, my wife, about it. Apparently it is a desired expense that we do pay money for. It's more for our children. So anyways, but I asked that question. Okay, then after you keep track and then you think about how you want to use your money, then you make a plan. Okay, so then if this is how much I really need and this is what I desire and this is unnecessary, I cut those out, then I'm going to make a plan about how much I'm going to use for each category for this next month. And then after that, you keep to your plan, and then every once in a while, you go back and you review your budget and you say, you know, how can I make adjustments? What adjustments do I need to make? And you just keep going in that way. If you need some tools, if you want to find out how I do my expenses, if you want an Excel spreadsheet of how I do all my stuff, just come and ask me. And I'm sure there are other people in this room that do it better than I do. But if you're not doing any of this, if you're not being smart and being careful with your finances, if you're not being frugal, then perhaps that might be one of the reasons why you feel like you're not able to give. What are some specific ways that you could give today? Again, I'm not asking for a private jet, okay? But let me really share with you guys what are the financial needs of our church. And I mention all of our church needs first because there are real needs, financial needs in our church. And without you actually giving to the church, without you actually giving offering to the church, none of this stuff is going to be able to happen. Okay, so number one, we have a budget of 6 million NT for next year. Number two, we have a building project that requires about 200 million NT dollars. Okay, that's the total amount that we need. Number three, we have a mission team that's going on a mission trip in February, and we need 20,000 NT per person. Seven people are going. Number four, we have missionaries that we support. Michelle Koh, she recently moved to Tokyo, and she will probably need more finances to help out so that she could do ministry there in Tokyo. And we also have a family, Wesley and Ting Ting, who are in the UK right now. Moving on, other things. There are FPC members among us here who are also missionaries. They probably need some help here and there. And so you can, if you know that they're a missionary, ask them for a support letter. Ask them if there's some way that you can help. And missionaries, if you are a missionary, of course, you can decide whether or not you want to share that with people here or not. But it's a great way to get other people in the church involved in what you're doing. Next, FCNI Ministries. We have FCNI, this umbrella organization over our church. We have other church plants and other ministries that are going on. One of our major projects for next year is that we're trying to put together a preaching camp for other pastors in Taiwan so that we can teach them about how to study God's word and to teach from a gospel-centered perspective. This is something that's lacking very much in Taiwan. And so this is something that we want to promote here. And so this is something that we do need finances for as well. Also, we're trying to start up an organization called the Taiwan Gospel Alliance. And this is a way to promote gospel-centeredness in Taiwan, and this is a way that we want to help other churches and actually have a relationship with other churches so that we're not just a lone church here. We want to promote being together no matter what denominational background they're a part of. And so that's another FCNI ministry. Other ways to use your finances is to support a child in this world through Compassion International or World Vision. I've been supporting a child since college. And actually, I supported two different children And I've been supporting one continually in India for many, many years now. I'm not saying this to brag and talk about how great I am, but I'm giving you ideas of how you can use your finances. And lastly, just as I've talked about in the very beginning, you will see poor people on the streets that may be asking for money. Give to the poor. Again, the main idea for today is let's treasure our Lord Jesus Christ and let that lead us to freely give. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for how you do pour out your love upon us. You gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, your great treasure, your beloved Son, whom you are well pleased with, you gave him so that we can have a life with you. And so, Lord, as we find our treasure in you, give us the opportunities, give us the frugality, give us the right mindset that we may be able to share your love with others in this world, perhaps through our finances and perhaps through other means. And may we do this for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.